Well, for the last few weeks, if you have a Bible, I'd love for you guys to go to the book of 1 Peter. That's exactly where we are. That's our series that we have navigated for now several weeks now. But specifically, it's kind of since the pandemic, you know, began and this whole transition as families and as communities and literally the entire world. So this is a message that is a global message because it's the scriptures. But basically, the message has been from day one, if you have been with us, has been the understanding that as we reincorporate into life as usual, we got to make sure that we do not approach life. But specifically as churches, we coming back to church, we're not just, you know, pressing the pause button again because we did it at the beginning because when we left and we have to, you know, stop gathering. But what this represents as we see the opportunity to come back is a restart, is a reset in our lives. And I'm bringing this up to us because, again, 2,000 years ago, when the movement of Jesus, this whole experience of following Christ personally and corporately, we find one of those eyewitnesses, which is Peter, the Apostle Peter, speaking to the church, struggling with this whole scenario that if we come back into the glorious days of, you know, the people of God in Jerusalem, if we can just survive persecution, if we can just survive the craziness 2,000 years ago, what we would like to do is simply come back to what we used to do before. And Peter is telling the church, no, you cannot do what you used to do. First of all, it's because it's not about you. It's not about the things that you used to do and the things that you want to do. It's not about the things that happened before the pandemic and then the things that you're going through right now in this moment or the things that you wish to do once these things are over. What implies that the whole concept, the understanding how you navigate this is that it's a reset because of the object of what you do. So for us, because we have been kind of invited and forced to be at home for the last few weeks, we have seen home as the, and this is kind of the reset, the understanding of family life. So my heart's desire is that after all these weeks, and as we come back into, again, to the reincorporation, resetting of things, is that we understand that the mandate for disciple making, the mandate for us to grow in Christ likeness, and the mandate to become followers of Jesus, it is at home. It is not given to churches. It is not given to specific individuals, but it begins in the community, in the intimacy of life in a very holistic, complete manner. So for us, again, this pandemic has forced us to have this kind of a view reconsidered or reset, which we hope and has been under the leadership and the structure of the Bible. So for us, again, a week ago, we described some of these things when Peter simply took the conversation and concluded last week by saying, if you are going to reset versus pause, if you're going to reconsider biblical worldviews as you recapture and as you kind of engage, you know, life and businesses and schools and the things that we got to do as a church also is that you need to understand that as you do this, you need to do it in a manner that is based on who is the one that has called you to do this. In other words, you're starting this whole new stage of your life, not because the pandemic is gradually dissipating, not because we have medical experts simply telling us how to navigate. This is based on the God who rules over science. This is based on the God who rules over viruses. This is the God who rules over the economy. This is the God that appoints leadership when it comes to governmental leadership, family leadership, church leader, I mean, any type of leadership is based on the holiness and the character of this God. Now, here, that's the good news. The bad news is because of God, not because of us, because of who he is. Peter told us last week that every single one of us engage the conversation with God by being set apart from him. Otherwise, if we don't consider who God is and we do not understand or disregard that the one who called us is holy, the one that is bringing us into, again, the opening of communities, the opening of life as we used to know life, when it comes to the restoration and the resetting of all these values, if we do not begin this by understanding that the one who created these things is God, we're going to make the mistake that to think that everybody is already with God, that everybody belongs to God, that all that we need is some sort of a therapist that can help us to just improve our condition. That is not God. Because look at the expectation. Since the one who has called us is holy, what he's called us to do is to experience the holiness of God in the mundane, in the everyday, in everything that we are called to be and do. So as you are a stay-home mom and you get the privilege to be with your kids, or maybe you are working on an 8-to-5 job that you wish you can come back to. Maybe for some of us, it's simply, you know, just being able to continue the progress of pursuing an education. For some of us, it's maybe, you know, we're so close to retirement. Or maybe you are in retirement. Wherever you are, the point of the story is literally that we must experience all of these things through the character of God. So once again, the God who is holy and he set us apart from him because of who he is and who we are, or who we used to be, apart from God, is the God that in his mercy and in his grace is that now he has set us also apart for him. So once again, I'm going to say this again. As we move into this reestablishing, resetting church life, family life, traveling life, businesses, I mean, whatever we're doing must be done with the understanding that we have been set apart for him. Well, this implication, again, 2,000 years ago, because Peter is speaking with the Bible in mind, and the Bible for him is the Old Testament. He quotes the Old Testament by simply reminding the church, it is written. What I'm telling you, when you navigate these things, it's not based on what I wish you can do. It's not based on the experiences that I had, you know, before I met you, before the pandemic. This is based on something that is unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable, which is the Word of God. So once again, just listen. As we move into this new resetting, into this new stage of life, into this new stage of whatever is it that we're going through, whatever phase we're facing, listen, we have to take the Word of God as the non-negotiable. And he basically says, you got to be holy because I have set you apart for me. I have created you, and in the past you were set apart from me. Now through Jesus Christ, you are set apart for me. The question comes, what does that mean? What does that mean when, again, on Friday, things are opening up? On Friday and Saturday, you can see the excitement. And then for us, we're getting closer and closer, so you got to stay tuned. We're coming back soon and gathering as a church. What does that mean? We know what it is. I mean, we can visualize it, and we're working hard towards those things. But the reality is that, what does it mean? Because our tendency church-wise is going to be for us to come back, and we won't expect things to be the same. I want to worship God the same way that I used to worship. I want to do exactly the things that I used to do. I want to approach things that and I'm telling you, we are in a new stage, in a new life. We're in a new phase of life for obvious reasons. And part of that has to do with the logistics that we have instructions on how we're going to gather together. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be the way that we used to. Not because we don't want to, not because we want to change things, but I'm just telling you, for the last 5 weeks, we've been gathering through social media. We've been gathering through technology. It's obvious that things have changed. But the beauty of change is in Jesus Christ, the one that sets us apart for him. He gives purpose to change. So this is not change for the sake of change. This is not change because we've been victimized, victims of circumstances. This is change that eventually what he perceives, what he describes, what it enlarges, what he portrays is the character of the living God. So in that terminology, this is what we understand, that we cannot be selective over the holiness of God, but we have to include and understand that he rules over every single thing. And this is where the word pervasive comes into mind. Well, again, Peter continues the conversation, and now we move into verse 17 when he says, since you call on a father, now that you have been set apart for him, he has become your heavenly father. It's a family relationship. And yet Peter automatically brings you the both end of the conversation. As much as we enjoy that separation for him, that separation that is exclusively a relationship from the very beginning, back from Abraham, it was not, could not become an indictment, a loophole that I can just pause the situation and then continue over with the same mindset, the same behavior, and then do whatever I want. So the concept of a father is literally not only some sort of a structure or hierarchy, functional, but also in essence, because the same father is the same who judges every one of us, and he judges on how we navigate through pandemics. We navigate through reinstalling into society, how we do parenting, how we do life as a whole. So the question comes, how do you balance this whole thing of the God who loves us and he gives his own son in ransom for us, but at the same time is the same God that eventually is going to call us for judgment? Well, that's exactly where these people are struggling. So once again, as a father, he has set you apart for him. But as a judge, if you disregard this separation for him, if you disregard the invitation to take him and know him as a father, one day he's coming back and he's going to judge Christians and non-Christians, religious people, non-religious people. He's going to judge everybody. And if you don't have that relationship with him and being separated for him, you will be separated eternally from him, because he is the one who demands justice, and in Jesus he provided the justifier. He's the one who loved us so much that he has set boundaries on how to live out that relationship. So Peter, again, just coming back into this conversation, is gonna point that conversation to the Apostle Paul, because this is one of those verses in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which is one of the most misunderstood, misquoted, misapplied. I mean, this is one of those verses that, oh my goodness, we just mishandle the Bible so radically, because look at what he says. He says, and we, I'm trying to illustrate the both end of the conversation, and we know that in all things, all things, meaning pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, and then post-pandemic, every single thing that has happened to you and I through our time on this earth. He says, all things, God, all things, God. I'm going to say that again. All things. Here are the things that are happening. Real, tangible, painful, beautiful. Some of them bring a lot of joy. Some of them bring a lot of grief. The Bible says, in all things, God works for the good of the things that were good, and the beautiful thing about the goodness of God is that we are the recipients of that goodness. And the goodness is based, here's the condition, you have to be set apart for him. Now, watch this. So the goodness that we are the recipients is based, here are the conditions, in case that you don't know what the conditions means, or what does it mean to be set apart for him, it means that you love him, which as a result is those who have been called according. I love the fact that it's an ED, it's a past experience, it's an indicative, it's what happened when you were saved. You were set apart for, according to his purpose. What is God's purposes? God's purposes is simply what determines the things that happen to you. I'm going to say that again. The purposes of God, which is basically 33 years of a Jewish carpenter that walked on this earth. So whatever has happened or is happening to you is based on the character of Jesus. Jesus becomes the filter on how we process the things that happen. Now hear me say this very clearly, because one of the things that Jesus comes and he does is that he establishes a brand new way to perceive goodness and to process the things. So just dream with me, raising, discipling, creating the environment at home, where we teach, we train the next generation, not necessarily to avoid things, but to choose the things, to create the things that are based on the purposes. And when, not if, but when things go wrong, when pain shows up, when pandemics come into place, he wants us, we're hoping to raise the next generation that now they have a new way of seeing goodness. All that I'm trying to tell you is that the concept of the Father and the concept of the Judge, the concept of the Heavenly Father that he brought us and he gave us his Son, and through the arrival of Jesus, a brand new stage of life came into existence, a brand new kingdom was established. A brand new era was established. Look at me. Here's a challenge. All of that is true. All of that is real and is present. But it hasn't been consummated. And this is why, in the middle of his lordship, in the middle of his kingdom, you get pandemics. In the middle of the majesty and the sovereignty of God, you see death taking place. In the middle of all this beautiful experience of the goodness of God, yet we're going through the valley of the shadow and death. And there is uncertainty, and there is fear, and there is anxiety, and there is depression. Yes, they are present. Look at me. But this is why, when the Bible says that everything is going to be turned into good, a lot of the things that you're going to receive as the goodness is in the in the kingdom to come, when it's consummated, when Jesus returns. So all that I'm asking you is for you to embrace the reality that although things are happening today, they have to be filtered through what is to come. If you haven't been set apart for God, it's pretty obvious. You don't have the ability to perceive or to embrace or to value what is to come. You're going to be driven by what is happening today, by the immediate. And I don't know about you, but as much as we should strive to reincorporate into life, and we should strive to come back and worship corporately in this place, this is simply temporary. How do I know that? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible simply describes that, and this is kind of the tension, that based on Romans chapter 8, you know, when it comes to suffering, based on what is to come, based on the consummation, suffering serves the purposes of God, and the purposes of God is the salvation from God, from self, and from hell. So for us as Christians, the things that are happening filtered through God are simply the things that help us to understand that they're shaping us into the image of Jesus. So suffering for us is simply the vehicle to honor and to enlarge and to grow the character of Jesus. But for those who have not been set apart for God, but they're still being set apart from God, when it comes to blessings, because again, God blesses everybody, right? The blessings of God, they become judgment. So hear me say this clearly. This is why the urgency for you to come to know Christ, and on a day like this, to embrace the reality of the Father and the Judge, to embrace the reality of the one who loves and the one who also loves Jesus and also brings justice into the world. Well, at the end, he simply says, live out your time as foreigners. Because in reality, I want you to have something that you have lost. What you have lost, see, what you have lost, when you see this dichotomy, this both end of the conversation, the problem with our generation, which I hope, and it's a reset. I want you to say this, I want to say this once again. I hope that in your home during this time, I hope as you get out of the home and you come back and reincorporate, we reincorporate with the reverence and the fear that we have lost in the past. The problem for the Church of the United States of America is that we do not fear nor revere God. We take God so lightly. We make him something that is just friendly. We love the fatherly figure, but we forget that he's also the judge. So we always pick and choose whatever is appropriate, convenient to us. Peter is saying, I want you to be reverent under the fear of God based on the reality that you own, that you have a dual citizenship. So once again, the reverence is simply the expression that you and I choose to live in righteousness. And once again, this is a righteousness that is not your own. In the past, you've always strove, you always tried, you always fought to be righteous. I'll give you the benefit because you as a Jewish person, speaking to the audience, you as a person of faith, you because you come from a family where you have values, and I know your grandfather was so-and-so, I give you credit for those things. But the issue is not what you're trying to strive. The issue is that you're trying to do based on your own, and therefore you do not have reverence over God, because then you have made God simply some sort of a servant that helps you to accomplish your own plans, your own desires. And as we move forward, I know we have a lot of desires, I know we have a lot of plans, I know we have a lot of things that we want to accomplish and reset and restart, but at the end of the day, everything that we do has to be based over something that has been given from the person of Jesus, which is his holiness. His righteousness has been imputed to us, and then look at what happens. What it does, it allows you to see yourself as a foreigner. In other words, because the two eras, because the situation that we're facing on the immediate and what is to come, the fact that we are Christians, but yet we haven't been transformed into his likeness and image, which happens in the life to come, this is why you filter this reverence through, not through the immediate, but what is to come. Well, this is the reality that this is what he says for you. You, plural, community, you, not you as a singular individual, you know, at a personal level. It's communal. You know. Some of you know this already, but in the Bible, knowing is spelled intimacy. In other words, everything that I just gave you, what he does, it doesn't create a better future or a different scenario. What he does, it just gets you in an intimate relationship with God. You go from simply embracing, believing, or just memorizing, or just putting into a conceptual, you know, doctrinal statements in your mind and in your heart, into now the intimacy that now he is your heavenly Father. That is the familial relationship. So in this case, Peter is saying, you have intimacy, you understand that that intimacy with God, what he does, it allows you to remind yourself how you used to be set apart from God, and for you to transition to be set apart for God now is the result of the work of Jesus that happened on that weekend. And I'm talking about the passion of Jesus where you receive your forgiveness. But then the obedience of Jesus is something that happened on weekdays or throughout the week, which I'm just using that language to exemplify it. This is what happened prior to that weekend. The 33 years of obedience, the 33 years of perfection, the 33 years of justice, the righteousness of Jesus, that's exactly what allows you to embrace, allows you to experience in the concept of intimacy. So all that I'm trying to tell you this morning is that as you know, as you walk in intimacy with Jesus, that it was not with perishable things, temporary things, such as silver or gold, that you, watch this, that you were redeemed, that you were ransomed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. See, Peter is reminding us that again, that the empty way of this you know, lifestyle of simply vanity and emptiness and no purpose is the result when we conveniently divorce what is now supposed to be separated. The work of Jesus on that weekend, his sacrificial, his atonement, the way that he, again, he pays the price for our redemption, that's when we get our forgiveness. But forgiven people do not get intimacy with God. Forgiven people, they do not reset the button. They simply pause. Because all that they're trying to do, if all that you embrace is what happened on that weekend, what happened on that Friday, if that's all that you settle for, this is the moment where you, all that you want is to avoid calamities, avoid illness, avoid suffering, avoid pandemics, and ultimately you want to avoid hell. I don't mind you avoiding those things, but remember, the win is not the avoidance of things. The win is the unity with the God of the Bible, and that requires the obedience of Jesus during the week, meaning the 33 years prior to the weekend. Everything that Jesus did in obedience must and has been imputed to us. And this is why he is reminding us that you have been redeemed from the empty ways, from manipulating the religious system, from trying to come back and simply push the pause button and then come back and do life as usual. We must not become or try to be the same people, the same church that we used to in the past. I'm just telling you right now, when you come back, when we come back, this place is going to look different. It's going to feel different. And our experience is going to be limited just because of regulations that are pretty obvious that we must follow. All that I'm telling you is that the differences, the changes, the unpredictability, the sense of newness has to be the vehicle for us to remind ourselves that this is the morning that we understand that we were purchased, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And then who was this Christ? He was without blemish. He was without defect. Why? Because the blood of Jesus provides forgiveness. That's what happened on the weekend. But then on Sunday, it was the person of Christ. His obedience, his righteousness for 33 years has been given to us. And watch this. This right here is not simply that you can avoid hell. This right here is not simply that you can be a post-pandemic generation. This right here is a reminder that as much as we understand and we love this whole blood-giving, blood-shedding of Jesus Christ, blood redemption is for the object. And the object is somebody who required that it need to be without blemish, without any imperfection. This is the God that we are now in love with. This is the God that makes everything now resettable. It's a reset. It's not a pause because of the God of the Bible. So here's what I'll say to you before I pray with you, is that it was this God, the object, God, chose before the creation of the world, chose, selected, planned ahead, look into his sovereignty, his way of seeing life. And again, I just need you to listen to this message. I know my time is running out, but I have to say this. This is the God that before the foundations of the world, this is the God before man sinned, this is the God that loved us before we were conceived in our mother's womb. And he had the conversation with his son Jesus because it was he who was chosen. Jesus was chosen before the creation. before the creation of the world. All that he's saying is that there is the Jesus of the Bible that has given his life for us, and that he obeyed in perfection for 33 years and has been imputed, given to us. That same Jesus is the supreme Jesus, the pre-incarnated Jesus, that Jesus has always existed, Jesus has always ruled, Jesus is God himself, and then he's given us this connotation, this language that we understand as the world. We have to speak the language that we understand. So in this case, is this transcendent Jesus that has been given to us, and then but was revealed in these days, in these last times, for your sake. So look at the beautiful imagery of a all-knowing, all-sovereign Jesus. And then this is the Jesus that was revealed to us, that the Father chose to give us that Son, that he chose to literally come into the last times, which the last times is nothing else but the birth of Jesus. When Jesus arrives through Mary, he revealed, does this sovereignty, this beauty, this amazing experience of Jesus coming into the world, and he establishes a brand new kingdom, and this kingdom was created for our sake. So as we try to reestablish our businesses, our way of life, our churches, let's just remind ourselves that it must be done under the one who was chosen before the foundations of the world. It needs to be done in a manner that within this experience, we are in this place to receive the revelation of the God of the Bible, and ultimately to remind ourselves that this concept of the last times is because we're in between the eras, because this is a transitory stage that is taking us somewhere else, where everything is based on what God has designed and desire from the very beginning. Today, I want you to pray this with me. Through Jesus, is that you are able to believe in God. That the beauty of this Jesus is not simply what he has done, but he has imputed, given you his very own faith. So you can believe in God the way that Jesus believed in God. Here's the big question. How did Jesus believe in God? How did Jesus believe in God on that Friday? That's exactly the way we need to believe as we move forward as families, as churches, as businesses, as society, as marriages, as children, as students. How do we do this? Look at this. He believed, he's giving you the ability to believe, and what he wants you to believe is what Jesus believed, that he, Jesus, was going to be raised from the... In other words, when Jesus goes on that Friday, he didn't face Friday and the pain and the suffering and the calamities, simply wondering if he was going to come out of the gravesite. He knew exactly what the Father has chosen and done before the foundations of the world. So as we move forward, will I invite you simply to confess, to believe that as we move forward, that based on what God has promised, that at the end of the journey, at the end of the experience, when we gather as a church, the purpose is for us to understand that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is the God that is raising things from nothing, is the God who is not simply, pushing the pause button for us to continue, but is the God that is resetting new things. So when I think about your home, when I think about your family, I think about my life, I think about the rest of my days on this world, it needs to be filtered through the understanding that there is a resurrection. That if you have not been resurrected in your spirit, you will not have the ability to be resurrected, nor to value the resurrection physically. So my invitation is that you stop fearing or avoiding death. That this is the time that you understand that salvation is available. That the resurrection of your spirit, that's where the whole conversation begins. It starts today in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at the beauty of this. It is this Jesus who believed the Father. It is this Jesus that eventually that believed, that sense of trusting in the trustworthiness of God, brought Jesus from among the dead, is the one that eventually got glorified. Is the one that today is inviting us. And this is the invitation that our faith and our hope into the future, creating or recreating or rebuilding our communities, rebuilding our church, has to be based on the understanding that as much as we need faith, as much as we need hope, as much as we need to be faithful, and as much as we need to have the certainty, is simply translated, communicated, and built into a person. So this faith and this hope is not so we can avoid financial struggles, or maybe losing our houses or our homes or losing our health and eventually dying. This whole thing is put into one single person, and the person is the God who chose Jesus to choose many for himself. My invitation this morning is simply that you will open your heart, that you will open your spirit and experience the resurrection of your spirit right here, right now. That you will simply recognize that you and I, we have been set apart from God, that we are sinners, that the pandemic has exposed our condition, that this world is broken, our souls are broken, and that if you are willing and able to confess that Jesus is raised from among the dead, that Jesus has been literally glorified and restored, and you make him your Lord, you make him your God, you make him your CEO, your chief of command, he will give you brand new life in Jesus. He will make this faith and hope a person instead of just a sentimental feeling, instead of just a concept or a doctrine. My invitation, as you can just pray and simply say, Jesus, come into my life. I recognize that I have been set apart from you, but this is the day where I want to be set apart for you in Jesus Christ. Forgive my sin. Give me brand new life in Jesus and make me whole again.